Hi, I'm Sean Nolan, and this is What I'm Grateful For Today. Today, I'm sitting down with Nathan Dowling, part of the YouTube duo The Breaker Leggers, with his husband, Season 1 podcast guest Simon Dowling, to talk about kindness from strangers, socialising in groups, and doing what makes you happy. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm feeling Monday blues today, even though it's not blue, because I had a very nice weekend away by the seaside in the scorching hot weather, which was wonderful. But now I am sat at my desk in my bedroom once again, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that was that experience done.
The sky is blue, it's nice and sunny, I'm delighted to be here, so thank you for inviting me along. So I'm not blue, I'm what's the opposite of blue? Pink. I'm feeling pink right now.
Good. What have you been up to recently?
Work. It's all about work at the moment, and I think there's no escape because it's from because it's working from home. Like, literally, it's like we're in house arrest is quite often what I feel. I'm looking forward to getting out there and doing stuff. So that's what I've been up to. Work, weekends.
You've been to the theatre a lot recently, haven't you?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we went over to National Theatre in London on the 2nd of June. When they opened up, we were at the National in the Dorfman. We managed to get tickets for a sold-out run of Afterlife in the Dorfman. First preview. Great to be in the theatre. Mixed opinions of the show.
But you didn't like it?
It's one of those things. It's
the first preview. 30th.
Okay, well, hopefully by then.
It's very different by then.
And plus, theatre is so subjective, Sean. Like, I don't think we've always seen eye to eye, us leggers, with you on a lot of things anyway. No. There are some unanimous things that, like, the world is agreed on. That's great. But I think some things, especially when when it comes to plays as well, it can be more like chalk and cheese on my mind between people.
I completely agree with you on that one. I completely agree. But we are here today to be happy about things and feel grateful, which I'm really excited about because I feel like my day needs that today. So I'm looking forward to having the conversation with you.
I look forward to hearing your things to be grateful for.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing yours because yours, when you told me them, they were quite vague. So I'm looking forward to elaborating on them.
And exactly get accused of this often.
You're excited about them. So why don't we start with the first thing that you're feeling grateful for today?
Do you know what? My first one is audiobooks. This is like this is quite big within a vague umbrella. And there's a few reasons why this ties into me. One, because of my learning style, to be honest, because I come from a family who are heavily dyslexic, hence why I ended up going into the arts in the first place. And I love being able to access books through the world of audiobooks. And because reading just isn't something that's accessible to me. And I have come across some corkers in the last 3 or 4 years. What's been great about lockdown as well is one of the only things we can do is get out for a walk. So I stick on my earphones and listen to different audiobooks. This is controversial, my most recent one, being someone who's so heavily involved in diversity and inclusion, championing the world of equality. Most people are shocked when I tell this. Oh, I read Woke Up or listened to Wake Up by Piers Morgan. And I'm thinking, I felt as if I was sleeping with the enemy. This came up as a cheap option at the time that he was kicking off at Harry and Meghan Markle. And I thought, oh, come on, what racist kind of stuff are you going to be splurting about? I'm just curious and interested to know. And you know, it was really interesting read into the world of how the other side of the world think. But anyway, that's one kind of avenue within this audiobooks. It's more that I would never be able to access any of this. I've read great books by Darren Brown. I'd recommend anybody read Happy. There's some great stuff by even real people I wouldn't tap into. Ant Middleton from SAS Who Dares Wins. Completely leagues away from me as a person, having an insight into someone else's world and how they see the world fascinates me.
So is it mostly memoir that you listen to?
No, my world is kind of like in the world of like cognitive behavioral therapy for my day job. So there's some interesting psychological stuff. So I'm just coming to the end of a book called The Boy Who Was Raised as a Dog, who's an American psychologist who talks through his cases working with children with troubled pasts. One of them, obviously, being a child who was raised as a dog. But you kind of think, oh my goodness, this is going to be really disturbing. But he sells it in such an inspirational way and taking the lessons that can be learned from it. So that's a really good book. The Chimp Paradox, if you have come across that, The Subtle World of Not Giving a Beep Word. I'm not sure
You
what
can
rating
swear. You're
you're on.
more than allowed to swear.
Okay, in which case, I'll more than say The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck is a great book, really accessible. Ruby Wax's books around the ideas of being human and mindfulness. I literally, if something takes my interest, I will go, do you know what? That sounds really interesting. Much like theatre. Maybe theatre is linked to that because you never know what you're going to get. You sign up to a title and you sign up to a writer, an author, and a director, you never know what you're going to get. So I have a real passion for being brought into a world in a kaleidoscope of like, what am I going to be shown? So I'm open with expectations, but audiobooks has made that accessible for me.
I do love audiobooks, and obviously I quite like podcasts too, hence why we're doing one right now. But for me, ever since the start of COVID, it's been so much more difficult to listen to those kind of things because I got so used to doing them on commutes and traveling to places that it is very hard to assimilate that then into life where you're not really going anywhere. I can't bring myself ever, and I don't know if that's a lot like toxic productivity culture, but I can so rarely let myself sit and listen to something and just sit there. I
Absolutely. Yeah,
find that
no, I'm the same.
difficult. I get really restless, and I hate that it's like that, but that is the case. And sometimes as well, I think I've because I've got out of the habit of it, I find it really difficult to subscribe to doing it again, I suppose. Like if I get in the bath, that's normally a time where I'll put on my speaker and listen to an audiobook or a podcast or something. But a lot of the time in more recent times, I just thought, oh, I should put on some music. And then you get into that rut of where you listen to the same music on loop and that kind of thing. And I find it very difficult to get out of the listener's rut, I suppose.
Yeah, I think if I'm inside, I have been. I tell you, Netflix has been abused. Any online platforms, any digital viewing platforms. I'm saying, because I'm in the car quite often, and we were in the car quite often. That's when the audiobooks come out. Or if I'm out cycling or walking, that's when the audiobooks come out. But if I'm at home, then forget it. It's either the Xbox or a streaming platform. And it's just so things are so, I feel like it is a bit of a waste of a time to be listening to something indoors when I could be viewing something. So I feel that. I feel that, which is why it's quite nice to have the weather picking up as well to get outside and enjoy the fresh air and the sunshine.
That's true,
Like
and
it's
great
quite
having the chance
therapeutic.
to listen to them, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, I have to force myself. I almost like that's my reason to get out. Can't really be asked to walk, to be honest. But if I know I'm going to be listening to an audiobook, I'm there.
I like that. I like that a
So
lot.
that's my first one. That's what I recommend every, because it's all about time, making the use of time. I feel as if I have to maximize productivity.
Oh,
I can't just
totally.
go for a walk and be in the here and now and admire the views and the smells and the birds. No, I've got to do something. That's a waste of time.
I totally feel that. Well, you talking of getting out and about, the first thing that I'm feeling grateful for is the fact that about an hour before we started this podcast, I booked my COVID vaccination. They have dropped the age rating or whatever you want to call it to my age band now, so I can book from today. And I'm having my first dose in 7 days' time, which I'm very excited about. But what I'm most grateful for about this is the mentality that has come with it. I mean, obviously, this is a very fresh in my mind things to be grateful for, since it only happened an hour before we started recording. But it's a bit in the same way as when I remember when I did this podcast earlier in the year, and even the end of last year, and was talking about, when this passes, when this happens. And that was before we had any sort of roadmap dates. Obviously, in the past 24 hours as well, since recording this, the roadmap dates have changed slightly, which I'm also quite relieved about, really. But having my vaccine dates in kind of gives me a sense of personal freedom release, because I think the thing that scared me the most about June 21st approaching was that I was not ready for that. And I thought it was actually incredibly unfair that they would reopen everything when there's still a portion of us that have not been able to have a vaccine yet because of the service. So I was quite glad when it got pushed back by a month, in all honesty, because I didn't feel ready for those things to happen anyway in my current state. But now it's actually quite nice as well to have a personal barrier of when I feel like I'll be ready to do things. An example is talking with people about booking to go away places and stuff. I frequently said, I can't do that. I can't bring myself to do that until I'm double vaccinated. And now I know that I'll be double vaccinated from August 26th this year. And it feels quite nice to already have a sense of like, cool, by the end of the summer, in myself, I might feel like things are different. And I know that doesn't necessarily change much for the rest of the country or the way that infection rates grow or anything like that. But I think anyone who's been vaccinated or is looking forward to being vaccinated can say is that the idea of having had it, even in half or in full, gives you that mental sense of comfort, I think, more than you have without having been vaccinated. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And I think as soon as I had my first dose, I thought, I've made it. I made it through the pandemic. Phew, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Because up until that point, it is pretty much an unknown. Although it affects a certain age group, you do think, am I going to be the one? Am I going to be one of those in my age group that are not going to make it? So that was absolutely. And I guess I'm always intrigued. Our eldest son, he sent us a picture just last week of when he was leaving school, and they had some anti-vaxxers outside his secondary school with a placards saying, don't do it, don't listen to the propaganda. Obviously there to try and stoke up some support, teenagers being teenagers, all they did was take out their phones and started recording them and laughing hysterically at them. But I guess you've got to admire someone with a passion, even though that passion is, in my opinion, gratefully misguided. But I guess it's just being aware. It is strange, isn't it, that not everyone is as grateful to run to get the vaccine or want the vaccine. And that blows my mind. You know, when you think, God, what planet are some people living on? Or am I wrong? Or are they wrong?
I'm very grateful, though, that I think I can't, there's not a single person that I know personally in my life that are related to people I know or are friends of people that I know who have negative opinions, but nobody in my circles has that negative opinion. And that's made me feel quite reassured. There's someone who works with someone I know recently supposedly just spouted a load of anti-vax conspiracies and propaganda at my friend while at work the other day, which was bizarre to them because the person had been very pro-mask and everything else. And we were talking about how much that finding those things out about people really colours a person in your head. You're like, wow, the fact that you actually subscribe to that belief from what you've read on Facebook is very surprising to me. I mean, I've never quite understood the anti-vax opinion on this situation, and people say, you know, went through too quickly or blah blah blah, but there's common sense that comes to these things. At what time in recent human history have almost every country in the world put all their funding and resources and great minds together to find a vaccine? Never. So that's why it's happened so quickly. And also, if you don't trust the NHS approving something like this, then you can't trust them for anything, can you? Surely, your logic, you wouldn't want a child with them then. You don't want to do anything with them because you don't trust their judgment. And that kind of common sense baffles me. But I am very grateful that I will be a part of the, Vaccinistas I saw the other day, which I thought was a great
time. Vaccinistas.
I'm excited to be a vaccinista as of next
year. It's
going to be brilliant.
Exciting stuff. There you go. I always think that it must be quite unsettling and quite unnerving when you're in your echo chamber and you know things and you feel comfortable with people. And then you suddenly find out someone who doesn't subscribe to that and says something that's so opposite and against. I've been in that situation a couple of times with some diversity stuff, and it really catches you off guard. You kind of think, because it's something that is a loud voice out on the social stratosphere or on the telly or an extreme, but actually when you're confronted with it, all you're thinking about is, I must be respectful, I am a friend, I don't quite know how not to be civil or how to call this person out. And I think that it's really unsettling to be able to go, whoa, no, you're wrong there. In my head, I can do that, but in actual reality, I think that must be a difficult situation.
Must be very confronting. Talking of echo chambers and also working from home, you've had a very immediate echo chamber for the past year, more than previous years. Why don't we talk about the next thing you're feeling grateful for today? because I'm sure many people would spend a lot of time with someone that they live with and not be that grateful for them. But it's wonderful that you are. So spread some of that positivity.
Now, I was very careful with my wording here in terms of what I'm grateful for. And I put down my second one is I'm grateful for a husband. A husband. Now, I guess I could settle for any husband, but I'm really lucky that I've got Simon as a husband because he's an amazing person. But outside of that, there's not so many things to be grateful. I was thinking it's around being in this, being around at this time of life. For example, it's only just been accepted the last day or two around people within the gay community being able to give blood. And this is something we've been fighting for years. And it's similar in terms of me being able to have, as a male, a husband. This has only been available for like the last 5 years or so. Like, what times we're living in? Think about where I came from. So there's something in being grateful for the times we are in at the moment, so that I'm able to say that I have a husband and that I'm protected in being able to say that. And that's before we get on to all the things that I can be really grateful for in terms of having a husband who gives me so much joy, so much enjoyment, so much pain as well. There's no one that will piss you off more than an intimate partner. But at the same time, it's married against that. You can't, if we don't have the lows with anything, as saying before, then how can you ever appreciate the highs? Mm. And when the highs are so good, it's easy to overcome the lows. And there's just something in the mentality, in the mindset of working together, of having somebody there if that's what you need. And I think, you know, I'm probably set up as an individual. I'm so independent, Sean. I really couldn't give a damn about anyone. That's been my life. And yet growing up and realizing that actually the one thing I need probably is someone there to confide in, to trust in, and to bend the barriers of safety and push myself into the vulnerabilities of what it is to be human. Because what human experience is it if we're going to be safe? What sort of life is that? No one wants to get to the end of their life going, I was safe, I was okay. You want to say, I've lived, I've loved, I've risked, I've tried, I've laughed, I've cried, and all those things. And I think for me, I'm grateful to be at this time, to be able to have someone that I can care that much for.
I love when you said earlier about kind of only this being a thing that's happening now, that only in this moment are you grateful that you could have had this in your life. I think quite a lot about how I'm a person, and I think probably many different diverse people would agree, that I'm a person that really could only exist having been born today. My life would no way be even slightly similar had I been born 5 years earlier. You know, never mind now. I mean, you saying about gay marriage being legalized, I remember for my GCSE English exam having to do a speech debating the pros and cons of gay marriage being legalized. That's how recent it is. And there are so many things like that. I feel like social perspective, I guess, on gay relationships is very different now to how it was even 5 years ago, like you say, or even 2 or 3 years ago. I feel very grateful from my perspective to be in a relationship that never once makes me aware of the fact that I'm with a man, you know, like I don't feel different to my boyfriend has a twin brother who has a girlfriend. I don't literally never would notice that there's no treatment difference between the two couples in any respect. And I've actually never even processed that thought until this very second when I've actually gone to sit and think about it. So like you say, I completely understand that sense of gratitude for being able to exist in a way that makes you feel good at a time like now. And I too, for, you know, I haven't lived too much of a conscious life, I suppose, until this point. But for a very long time, I always thought the idea was a little bit silly of having boyfriends. And as much as it was fun, it would be fun, end point. It would just be an enjoyment factor. Whereas what I've come to realize over the past year of my life in reality is that it's the most important and necessary part of life is sharing it with somebody else, not only having someone else to confide in and grow alongside of, I suppose, and experience life with, but also to share the on your own shit with, you know. I really don't like a full day apart, and that's not a sense of like I don't do well on my own. It's more a sense of like, God, I want to share these things now. I'm so excited to share, because I used to do so much on my own that now I'm like, gosh, let me share with you that I went and did this, or that I had a ham sandwich, not to that.
That's really extent, nice.
You know what I mean? I enjoyed
that's
it.
That's really nice to hear. And that's nice to hear that he's still in that stage, because Sean, I welcome a day away from Simon. If he goes away on work for a couple of days, bring on the alone time. It's the absence does make the heart grow stronger. But hey, absolutely right. It's about finding the balance and everything, isn't it? It's about, I think one of the key things is being able to know yourself, be comfortable with yourself and not having to rely on somebody else. So maybe that's the difference in terms of the security as well. Or maybe that's a fear of vulnerability and not giving yourself up fully to someone. Anyway, but yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm grateful for.
Going from one person focus to bigger loads of people, the next thing I'm feeling grateful for is having fun with people in groups. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I'm a bit worried that I have actually said it in recent times, but I'm going to say it again anyway, because this past weekend, as I said in last week's podcast, I went away for the weekend with my boyfriend and his family. It was a wonderful time. And the most wonderful thing I can take back from it when I now think about it is spending time with other people in groups, sitting around a table with other people, sitting on the beach with other people, going from conversation with one person to conversation with another to conversation with another. When was the last time that got to happen in the past year? For me, anyway, wow. It's been a really long time. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I've looked forward to this weekend for a very long time this year, because I knew that it would be one of the first activities where I was with a group of people. And next week I have a garden barbecue for my friend's birthday. And the week after I'm going away with a couple of friends to stay in a cabin that I haven't seen in a while and things like that. These are all group activities that are coming now. And I'm so grateful to have that, because for such a long time, I craved social interaction. I still do now. I still go through kind of less so now because we have a lot more time with other people, but it was extreme loneliness I felt, especially for the past kind of 6 months when being on my own, because social interaction to me was so draining, because it was one-on-one, and it was for a long time it was just walking, as we all know, and walking with somebody one-on-one and having to sustain conversation, just one-on-one focused chat with one single person for such a long time on a regular basis to make sure you were keeping up seeing people, was really hard. And it is really difficult unless it's somebody that you're totally close with and can just talk to them about anything. Anything that comes to top of your head, it just, you know, those kind of people that you can talk about anything with. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad now to be able to do things in groups, and have done things in groups in more recent times, where you can just hop between people and talk, or talk in a group setting, or break off and do something. You know, that dynamic is something I've missed so much in the past year. I'm totally grateful to have it back again.
I think it is that break building up of the bubble. Sometimes you have to, I think that's really what COVID has shown us, like things we've taken for granted. We've literally had to miss it to really realize how much we value it. Like we love board games, but it literally has been the four of us, Simon and I and the kids, playing board games to death, that we're like, please, can we get other people involved to play this board game? Because we played this 10 times now. We know each other's strategy. We know each other what we're going to do. And it's like, we're really looking forward to just getting people over on a Friday evening to do stuff, just to play games beyond just the four of us. So I'm looking forward to that as well, massively. I've got a barbecue coming up, actually, in I think there's probably going to be about a dozen people, and I'm a bit anxious about it as well, like the idea of, oh my goodness, I see it on TV as well sometimes. I'm watching a film and I'm thinking, oh gosh, they're hugging, oh, they're getting a bit close, oh no it's okay, this was before COVID. Like, I've still got echoes of that uncomfortableness around big groups of people that I think I'm gonna have to get over.
I think at first when these things started to happen, I was a bit nervous of them. But what I've come to learn is that I get less nervous in groups of people that I know. It's groups of strangers that terrify me. So the idea of having to go and sitting in the theatre was quite overwhelming, or the cinema, because I didn't know these people. But when it's really? People I know, and I know how they respect COVID, and I know the way they work, I feel a lot more safe being near to those people than I do strangers, actually.
Now, this is our mentality when we're in the theatre all together, because it's not Simon and I and the whole auditorium to ourselves, just strangers. We're already on edge thinking, How are these going to behave? Who's going to be the first one to get the phone out? Who's going to be nattering to the person on the other side? Who's going to be singing at the top of their voice inappropriately? And you just don't know until you kind of settle in. Yeah, and I swear we're cursed, Sean. I don't know if we're looking out for it or cursed, but they always seem to be in our direct vicinity, our direct sphere. So it can't just be us, but I understand that kind of, you just don't know. It kind of, we do have a level of anxiety when going to the cinema specifically as well, because that's, you just can't control what other people do, and the cinema is worse.
No, but in a way, even though it is scary, it is quite nice to be around other people and even have interactions with strangers these days. As hard as it is to come to terms with it, linking my first thing to this new thing that I'm grateful for, I'm hoping the mentality of being vaccinated will alleviate some of that anxiety, and then I can enjoy more of those group interactions even with strangers, because
that's
the only way we're going to come back to normal life now, you know? That's the only way we're going to be able to do it. So I think it needs a certain element of overcoming anxiety and just rolling with the punches a little bit, because at this point we're doing all that we can do, really, you know?
Yeah, we're doing well. We're making progress.
We are, which is another thing to be grateful for, which is wonderful. But going on to the last thing that you're feeling grateful for, this is the one that I've been really excited to hear about, because I absolutely have no idea what you were on about when you texted me. So this is
totally
fresh and new to me, and I'm really looking forward to it.
So the name I texted you was a name called Ken Caswell. And I guess this is tapping into the kindness of others has always blown me away. Always blown me away, the kind of kindness of other people. To this day, it surprises me. And it taps into this idea of being very independent because of my upbringing. And I guess the stigma I had to go through, I've developed to be a very independent person, not to rely on anybody but myself. And I'm a bit of a martyr in that, to that degree, to almost my cost. Now, when I was at stage school, way back when I was at Mountview in my third year, I really struggled with money. And we had our first big performance. It was directed by a chap called Ken Caswell, who was in the original cast of Les Miserables. And he was at the time the resident director of Les Mis at the Palace Theatre. Lovely guy. And he got us, it was one of the big anniversaries at the time. And he got all the cast of us along to see the show at the Palace, like really good seats. I think it was a time maybe when Lea Longa may have been in the company for playing Eponine, and lovely sweet girl, and we got to say hello to her. Like really special. I couldn't afford a photographer. So when it came to our show week, our performance week, you want to advertise yourselves to all agencies, etc. And I just couldn't afford it. I was barely getting by eating at that time. And he didn't know anything about me. It was just him. Craig Revel Hallward, funny enough, was the choreographer as well. So it's like a great creative team. Everyone had their photos out the front of their pro shots of like what they wanted in the spotlight, and mine was missing. And I just thought, you know, if I don't tell anybody, and you know, no one will notice. Anyway, Ken did notice, and he was like, why haven't you got it up there? What's going on? I was just like, you know, I just can't afford it. There's things that are bigger, and I'm enjoying doing this stuff and expressing my art. The next day, went into the changing room, and there was an envelope with £100 in it. And he just said, with a little note saying, go and get yourself a photographer, have it on me. And like that, to this day, this guy owes me nothing. He didn't know me from nothing. Like he could have just gone, wash my hands of this. And it always catches me off guard. And to this day, I'm always indebted to Ken Caswell. Like he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to give a damn. He didn't have to go, do you know what, that guy, I'm going to support him with that. And like, as a result, I did get an agent and I did get jobs. And I've been okay. All because of, you could say, link all the way back to that. So within Ken Caswell is the kindness of strangers. I think there's something in there around always paying it forwards. There's, knowing what it's done to you and looking for opportunities to do that. I've done that a few times. Have you ever had it when you're queuing behind someone and they haven't got the money to pay and you're like, oh gosh, how much is it? It's only a few things. I can step in here. This is me. Go on, I'll take it. I'll pay. And it's like always looking for those opportunities. So that, Sean, is who Ken Caswell is and why I am very grateful for the course of life that he has set me on from that point.
That is such a wonderful story. I did not expect it to be as personal and nuanced as that. I can't really comment on anything to it because obviously I haven't had a similar experience, really. But
it will happen one day. It will happen. You'll recognize it. Someone will pay you a kindness and you'll just be like, wow. Or maybe these things happen all the time. And I'm just not as, I'm more taken by shock and surprise by them.
I don't think that kind of thing does. I think that kind of thing only happens once in a blue moon. And I think that's really wonderful that someone would step in and do that and gives you, I think it's lovely as well, if anything, that it's given you a mentality that says, like you said about, you know, being behind people in the supermarket and stuff, it makes you say, I want to pay that forward too, actually. And if you know, doing that actually led you to do that to other people, which is wonderful.
And that kind of sets the platform, isn't it? If you want the world to be a better place, it needs to start with you. You need to do it. Do, I always say this, do what you want the world to be, but don't wait until you're in power as government, or don't wait until you are the manager. Be it now. Be what you want to be now, period.
I love that. I love that so much. Yeah. You saying that made me think, like, that should be the title of the episode, which is why, that's why I went quiet for a minute. Do what you want. Do what was it again? Do what you want the world to be.
Yeah, do what you want the world to be. I love that. It's quite similar. Isn't there something similar in Rocky Horror? Don't dream it, be it, or something. That's, I'm sure Simon's got a t-shirt like that. But I use that a lot in just in the business world as well, in terms of don't wait until you get the promotion to be that manager you want to be. Go and do the stuff now, like, and then show people what you're doing. I do that all the time, and that's, I've been lucky in that respect in having that attitude, which I guess I could root all the way back to Ken Caswell. So take it all the way back.
I love it. Now, the last thing that I'm feeling grateful for is not quite as profound, and I always seem to make this mistake. I've made this mistake a few times in recent times where I put mine at the end and someone comes in with a great last kicker, and then I end up looking like a bit self-absorbed in the process. But the point of my one is to encourage a bit of doing something for yourself. And I'll make it quick because I haven't got much time left. But before I went away last weekend, I decided I've never been very comfortable with my body. And I've actually, in all brutal honesty, only ever been anything less than fully dressed. That includes even being topless. I've literally never been anything less than fully dressed in front of anyone since I was 9 years old, besides my boyfriend in the past year. That's it. So that was in itself a terrifying experience.
Okay.
That's the thing about me that I never talk about online, but it's totally true. And when I knew this holiday was coming, I knew that it would involve swimming pools and other things. And I knew that I would not want to miss out. And I couldn't avoid it this time and had to come to terms with it. And it was one of those things I was like, you know what, you have to get used to it. You have to accept it. You have to swallow your pride and get on with it. In the build-up, I decided I would get a spray tan because I thought, I'll feel more comfortable. I feel more confident. You also have not, your body has literally not seen the sunlight in over a decade, so it might do you a favor. And I went through this process. And I cannot describe to you how much better I felt about myself after doing it. It wasn't even necessarily that it made me look particularly any better or maybe necessarily be any better physically in my body, like suddenly have a different body and be like, this is incredible. But my mentality shifted when I realized that putting energy into trying to like something about yourself really pays dividends. And the way I learned this most actually was by kind of the second day of being away, when I'd been in chlorine for a hell of a lot of time, I was significantly less tanned than when I'd started. And I didn't care. And as it progressed, I really didn't care. And I've already seen myself in the past few days feel different within myself and not care so much about it. And my whole point here of gratitude is really that go and do something that makes you feel good about yourself, because it's actually worth spending money on doing those things if you can and if you're able to. If that's what's holding you back, but you actually do have the resources, go and do it. Because I now wish that 5 years ago, I decided, oh, fuck, I should get a spray tan for this week. And then it would have probably changed my mentality 5 years ago. It was something that was so simple that cost £33 to completely change my mentality. You know? And that could be anything. That could be having a manicure that makes you feel good that day. You know, I saw something the other day, actually a couple months ago, and I've never not done it since, which is that sometimes you have to invest in having a good day, and that sometimes you might not be having a good day. But if you order a takeaway for lunch because you feel like it, that's a reason to have a good day. And it's linking to what you said, really, do what you want the world to be in your own.
Absolutely.
You want to have a good day and you want to feel good about it. Sometimes it requires you to step up and to go and say, actually, I'm going to bloody well make myself feel good today if I can. And I've only really embraced that in the past couple of months of my life. And it's really changed it a lot for me.
That's brilliant and well done you. I think you should always push it. Yeah, and it's one thing to say, oh, I know what I need to do, but actually doing it is something else. And like, I've never been too comfortable with how I look, but I stopped giving a damn about what other people think a long time ago, which I think is a bit of a problem actually, because I don't, it leads to Simon really pulling his hair out by the way I look. He's like, are you seriously going out like that? And I'm like, I don't give a damn. I don't give a toss. Like, people can like me for me or not at all. But it's not, it's almost to the other extreme. But on that, I'm almost a bit of a voyeur. I'm quite voyeuristic. What I wanted to do, Sean, I remember very clearly 3 years ago, we came out of the theatre in London. I can't remember what show it was. And then suddenly there was a big whoa through the heart of London as hundreds and hundreds of naked cyclists cycled by. And I was like, what are they doing? Are they insane? And then my next thought was, I want to do that. And do you know what? We put it in the diary and everything for last year. And then COVID came along. So I'm not sure if that's a blessing or a curse, if the universe is trying to tell us something. But anyway, that is definitely on my bucket list. The same idea of like, that would terrify me, Sean. But I think it's one of those things. I don't want to get to the end of life and go, oh, do you know what? There's still a few things on my bucket list that I thought about doing. Like, and maybe cycling naked through London is a bit of an extreme, but that's what I call living. And I think it's important that, you know, you get to that phase in life to be comfortable with yourself, that you're like, it's not about other people now. This is about me and what I want to achieve and what I want to do. So well done, Sean.
Thank you, Nathan. I appreciate it. And thank you for this conversation today. I really enjoyed it. And I genuinely do feel much brighter than I did before we started,
Awesome. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure sharing and listening to the different things you're grateful for. And it does make you stop and think, do you know what? When things are down and difficult, actually, there's plenty of stuff. If you just take stock, we're still here. We're still breathing. I've made it to this point in my life, which is a bloody achievement in itself, Sean. Okay. So, do you know what I mean? There are a lot.
If you enjoyed today's episode, you can subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Our theme music is by the funky Emma Thorpe. Our artwork is by the jazzy M. Jenkins. And our producer is little old me. We'll see you next time.